About 45 years ago, there was a woman in Canton, Ohio, who had Parkinson's disease. One day, this lady was declared dead, and after that declaration was made by a local doctor, she was taken to the local funeral home. The mortician at the funeral home was preparing for the embalming of the body, and as he happened to look at this lady's tongue, the mouth area, he thought he saw her tongue move. That surprised him, so he began to pay a lot closer attention to this lady, and then he noted that she took a breath. The lady who had been declared dead came back for near-death experience, and then, as you can imagine, she decided that she was going to sue the doctor who pronounced her dead. She had been taken to a room where the temperature was very low, her vitals were not evident, and the doctor thought that she really had died. The lady won the lawsuit. The lady said in the lawsuit that she had nightmares from being in the casket since it was hard to breathe, that's a direct quote, while she was in there. After the lady recovered from her near-death experience, she lived for 4 more years before she finally passed away. Now, that true story happened back in the 1970s. Many years prior to that story, though, there was a man by the name of Jesus. The Lord really did die. Jesus really did come back to life. And his resurrection, as Don mentioned a few minutes ago, is being remembered by many today. The Bible says, when we think about the word resurrection, that a time is coming where there will be another resurrection, a great resurrection. All deceased people that we have known throughout our lives will one day be raised from the dead. Even the people that we've not known, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, they are also. As we sit here this morning, they're waiting for a resurrection. Today we want to think about the resurrection of all people at the end of time. Unless Jesus comes back before we die, each one who is here will leave this life as far as the death process, and one day we will be raised from the dead. When you start thinking about the resurrection, one of the questions that comes up is, do we find the idea of a resurrection taught in the Old Testament? There's a lot of dispute about that. Scholars have disputed that for a long time. Two passages which are sometimes cited come from Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 and Isaiah 25 and verse 8. You do, of course, have some information in the scriptures as far as people who had died under the Old Testament era. They were brought back to life, but then they also died at some future point in time. However, however, that subject is viewed in the Old Testament. We do know that in the New Testament, the subject of a resurrection is clearly, it is definitely taught. In the New Testament, we find affirmations that those who were in a right relationship with God, they will be raised at the end of time. We also find in the New Testament an affirmation that those who were not in a right relationship with God, they will also, each one will also be raised at the end of time. Then we also have some information in the Bible about what might be called a spiritual resurrection. And those are the 3 points that we want to look at in this lesson. The first passage that we begin with, and you have all the passages on your sheet, is Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30. It is here that Jesus said, "For in the resurrection." Now, in Matthew 22 and verse 30, Jesus could have said, "There could be a resurrection." In Matthew 22 and verse 30, the Lord said, "There will probably be a resurrection," but he did not use language of that type or sort. Jesus said, "In the resurrection." By wording his point in that way, Jesus affirmed that there will be a resurrection. A future resurrection is something that is guaranteed by God. Men may not believe it. Most may say that's something that simply cannot take place. There have been people in this life who have made great strides. They've taken great measures to ensure that their tomb is going to be locked up and that if there is a resurrection, God is not going to get them. Men may not believe it. Men may try to seal their tombs. Men can do whatever they want. But there will be a future resurrection, regardless of the message that the devil tries to convince people of. There will be a future resurrection. In Matthew 22 and verse 30, as Jesus talks about the future resurrection, he makes it clear that in the future resurrection, marriage or dating will have no involvement with it. If you hope to have any kind of romantic relationship with another person, if you hope to be married, you need to do that while you're on this earth. Once people die, marriage, dating, romance, all that stuff stops. Another resurrection verse given by Jesus is in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 14 and verse 14. Now, this is a verse that we do not use too often, but it is an important text when we think about the resurrection of the dead. Here Jesus talked about the resurrection of the righteous, or some translations would refer to it as the resurrection of the just. It is possible to be part of a group, to be in the presence of others, and for whatever reason, we do not like at least a few of the people in that group. Maybe there are a few undesirables in that group. And we like just about everybody, but this one or two or this three or this four, we don't particularly care for a certain number of people. When it comes to the resurrection of the righteous or the just, Luke 14 and verse 14, the saved will not be in the presence of anyone that they dislike. In this life, you can find times where Christians sometimes struggle to be with a fellow saint. For whatever reason, Christian A does not like to be in the presence of Christian B. When the saved are brought together at the end of time, Luke 14 and verse 14, one of the following conclusions is going to be true. Christian A and B will both be present at the resurrection of just, and they're going to be getting along fine. Or Christian A will be present and Christian B will be somewhere else. Or Christian B will be present and Christian A will be off with the devil. Or Christian A and Christian B will not be part of the resurrection of the just, Luke 14 and verse 14. You see, the resurrection of the just, Luke 14 and verse 14, will be a group of people who are one harmonious group. Another resurrection verse which gets little attention is Luke chapter 20 and verse 35. This verse, excuse me, is one that I'm going to read. It's a passage where if you've not looked at it closely, you're going to think, I'm not even sure I knew that verse was in the Bible. He said, Jesus, but they that are accounted worthy. Listen to that again. But they that are accounted worthy to attain to that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Did you know, Luke chapter 20 and verse 35, that Jesus spoke about being worthy to be raised from the dead? It's in there, Luke chapter 20 and verse 35. Jesus said the resurrection for the saved, it will be for the worthy people. Well, someone says, well, that's interesting. Who are the worthy people? Some might think, well, the worthy people are the good people. No, the worthy people. As you look at the Bible, the worthy people are the people who followed and fulfilled God's word. A lot of people are going to be raised from the dead, and they're going to think that they're worthy, but they're not. They will be deemed, they will be classified as unworthy. Jesus was raised from the dead, and that will be good news for those who are deemed worthy of a future resurrection. You see, Jesus knows who the worthy are. And he promised back there in the book of John, John chapter 6 and verse 39, that he will raise those people up at the last day. Paul commented on this in the 2 Corinthians letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. Paul, in that letter, he talks about the saved, the people who are worthy. He said that they will be presented to Jesus at the end of time. We sing songs from time to time about giving gifts to God. Our worship, as we think about the times where we come together, where we assemble as a body of people, we offer some things to God. At the end of time, at the climax of human history, when there is this great resurrection, what gift could possibly be suitable or right to give to deity? Deity already has everything. God owns it all. So because God owns it all, what gift would be proper or right or fitting to give to God? The answer in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14 is the saved, the righteous. They will be presented to Jesus Christ. The people who live for God, the people who sacrifice for God, the people who are willing to shoulder their cross for God every single day. Those people will be like a special gift presented to the Lord. For the saved, the resurrection at the end of time is going to be a glorious experience. Paul was a great man. Anybody who knows hardly anything about the Bible would say that yes, Paul was a great man. Out of all the things, though, that this great man experienced, there was one thing that Paul really wanted. Do you know what that was? It involved the resurrection. In the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 11, Paul said, I want to obtain the resurrection of the dead. You see, Paul had some understanding of the items that we're looking at this morning. He knew about the future glory associated with the resurrection. And because of what the future resurrection is going to be like, Paul said, there is no way I want to miss it. I want to share in that experience. In the 1 Thessalonians letter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul said, this is going to mean being ever present with the Lord. And there is no way that I want to miss out on that. Now in the past, and even now sadly, there have been some people who have claimed that the resurrection is past. Michael read for us from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. Paul said that there were some men like Philemon, men like Philetus, and men like Hymenaeus. And he said those men had become guilty of blasphemy. They said that the resurrection was past. In the first letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul said, I turned those men over to Satan that they might learn not to blaspheme. The resurrection has not taken place, even though some people have claimed that in the past, even though sadly there are some now who are supposedly attached to the church who make a similar claim with the false 70 AD theory, but still, that's what some teach. When we think about the resurrection, it is going to involve the saved. It's also going to involve the lost. We know that because of a passage from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 24 and verse 15. There the Bible says, having hope toward God, which these also themselves look for, that there shall be a resurrection. And then the text says a resurrection both of the just and the unjust. Jesus proclaimed this same message when he was on the earth. You may remember that back in the book of John, John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus said, all they that are in the tomb shall hear his voice. They that have done good under the resurrection of life, they that have done evil under the resurrection of judgment. Jesus made that same point in Matthew 25. You may remember there his teaching about the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The Lord talked about the 5 foolish virgins. They were going to be cast from him for eternity. John also, the Apostle John in the last book of the Bible, turning now to Revelation chapter 20 in just a moment, reading from Revelation chapter 20 verses 11 through 15. John talked about this resurrection as well. And he describes it in slightly different terms. Beginning with verse 11 in Revelation 20, he said, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the judgment seat of Christ. The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And he says, the dead were judged out of the things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. The resurrection experienced by all at the end of time, John 5, 28 and 29, Acts 24 and verse 15, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. It's going to be based on the works, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13. I recently shared an article on social media that you may have seen. It was about former mayor Michael Bloomberg. This man, sometime in the past, made a contribution of $50 million for a gun control initiative. He's done some work in the areas of obesity and smoking. This ex-mayor then went on to say, if there is a God, I'm not going to stop and be interviewed. I'm heading straight in. I've earned my place in heaven. It's not going to be close. You know, that guy's thinking just like a lot of other folks. Look at my life. Look at my works. This is what I have done. God's not going to stop me. I'm going to head right in. Heaven is going to be my home. God says, hold on, Buster. You've got another thing coming. To enjoy the resurrection at the end of time. To be counted worthy of the resurrection at the end of time for the righteous. We must first participate in the initial resurrection. You see, before John talks about the judgment at the end of time, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, if you back up a few verses in Revelation 20 and verse 6, John talks about the first resurrection. If we want to be part of the resurrection of the righteous, we have to be part of that first resurrection. Somebody says, well, what's that first resurrection? The Bible makes it very clear. That first resurrection is a reference to becoming a Christian. You see, Jesus, again, going back to what Don said a few minutes ago, Jesus died. In Romans chapter 6, Paul says that we also must share in that experience. We've got to die, not literally, but we die to sin. After Jesus' death, he was buried. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4 says that we also must be buried. We've got to be buried by baptism. Baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:27 says it puts us into Christ. Jesus died. We died to sin. The Lord was buried. We're buried with Christ in baptism. Jesus was raised, thankfully, on the third day. The Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 4 that we are raised to walk in the newness of life after we've been baptized. We have that first resurrection. If we do not participate in that first resurrection, if we're not baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, we cannot, we will not, no one will be worthy of the resurrection to life. We might give millions of dollars. We might pray as much as anybody can pray. We might faithfully attend a religious group. We might go down the list and say, I've done this, I've done this, and I've done this. It doesn't matter. We've got to have that first resurrection. Otherwise, we cannot be part of the resurrection for the just. Now, some experience that first resurrection. They are baptized. But then, for whatever reason, they don't stick with God's plan. It does no good to be baptized. It does no good to experience the first resurrection and then fail to continue to live a committed life to Christ. If we've experienced that first resurrection, our job, our duty, our obligation is to continue to live for Jesus Christ every single day. That goes back to Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. One day the books are going to be open. Not that God needs a literal book, but a record. Excuse me, a record is being kept of our life. I do not know when the resurrection day is going to come. Today, tomorrow, 1,000, 10,000 years from now, I don't know. But God says, for in the resurrection, not it might occur, it will occur. When it does occur, will we be ready? Unless the Lord returns before we die, there will be a resurrection. And each one of us here will participate in it. Are we ready for the Lord to return? Are we ready to be raised up to meet Jesus and hear those words, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world? Or will we hear those sad words, depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels? When the resurrection day comes, only one of two messages will be given to us. Which one will it be? Let's make sure it's the right one and do that now as we stand and sing the selected song.